This is a replay of the Wednesday night, March 11th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings and LS Sports Preemptives. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, well, it'll be on mine. I'm trying to clean up some requests as well. For instance, I don't know, Herb had called in from Elgin and asked for Lou Rawls, One Life to Live. I don't know if I played that. So we will tonight and several more that hopefully, including, I did promise, Robert, that I would play. Hard to believe. Eddie Howard. Right, my last goodbye, Robert and LaGrange. We'll do that, not right away, but we will do that. So, especially like it when you request the things you can't hear anywhere else. Now, I do, in general, reserve the right to say no, depending on what it is. But we'll check out Eddie Howard. All right, so 888-876-5593. We're going to get to Cindy in Chicago and you too. But as I was saying, abbreviations. We take these things for granted and never really think about them. But why? For the word pound, do we use LB? You know, because there's no L and there's no B. Well, it actually comes from libra pondo, which is Latin for a pound by weight. Now, what's interesting is pondo, we got the word pound from pondo. I don't know about the libra, but regardless, we got the abbreviation from libra and the word from pound. So now you know LB. And why is there a Z in ounce? Because after all, there's no Z in ounce. And once again, Latin comes to play as far as that goes. Now, a lot of talk on AM and PM. Well, some historical facts behind that. AM stands for anti-meridian before noon, and PM for post-meridian afternoon. And we use post for a lot of things. Post-op, for instance, post-war. Yeah, well, that's the deal. That's the deal there. Then from the School of Redundancy, how many people talk about their PIN numbers? Well, PIN stands for personal identification number, so saying PIN number is absolutely redundant. So as far as copies, CC, well, that's pretty obvious. If you are a little longer of tooth, you'll remember carbon paper. And CC was for carbon copy. How about USB? Yeah, the universal serial bus. Right. Some people say sounds like Greyhound. Well, in a way, it's actually a system that helps things talk to each other. So it is a communication line, so to speak, kind of a digital highway. So maybe bus is appropriate, created in the mid-1990s as a word. Et al., E-T-A-L, got to remember being at a remote. And secretary for the station was reading email. Well, it wasn't email. It was actually snail mail from listeners. And she said, "And this one is for Robert and E.T. and Al." No. And you see it all the time. And actually, it's a short for et alia, which is Latin for and others. So that's the deal. Only the AL is abbreviated, which is why there's only one period on ETAL. All right, so there you go. Oh, yes, there's even more fascinating information about that, but I know, you're just spellbound. So we'll move directly to Cindy in Chicago and see what's on her mind. So, Cindy, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Okay, Well, I have a request. I like these songs, you know, from the 30s, whatever. Okay, these are the lyrics. I don't know the name of the song. Oh, you're the cream in my coffee.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. The sugar in my tea.
You're the salt in my stew. Yeah. You will always be my necessity. I would be lost without you.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Know that song?
I'm afraid I do. And where did where did you hear it?
I have a CD.
Oh, God, help us.
With all those songs. Sometimes I listen to it.
Now, what's interesting is that's one of those songs that's been done by a zillion people. People like...
Well, I want the original from the...
Well, no, they were done a zillion... remember, back when these records were popular, they weren't records, they were sheet music. And so you had big band artists do the song from the sheet music, and you usually each one of them would have a vocalist, and then you'd wind up with maybe 50 versions simultaneously.
Okay, but I like the one, you know, I like the way the tenors sing it, you know.
Yeah,
from
but what I'm telling you is that there are over 100 versions of this, big band versions, and so it's from a Broadway musical originally. So you know, the first live performance wasn't even recorded, and that was Ona Munson. But probably, I'm trying to think of who you might have heard. I'm guessing it might have been Ted Weems, and if it was, then it would be Parker Gibbs doing the vocal. But as I say, you look at 1928 and 29, and you will find at least 40 versions of this.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's the way it works, because, again, what they were selling is sheet music.
Okay. Whatever you find, I don't know.
Well, Ted Weems.
I like the tenors, the way they sing from that era. They have real nice voices, good voices.
Okay.
But then, as far as my diabetes, I drove my doctor crazy because I wanted a whole new...
I can imagine. I can just imagine.
I apologized to her. I left her a message. And they're real nice at Lutheran General. She listened to what I said. I told her, I finally did what I was supposed to do. I called the number on the back of the meter. And I've been blind since third grade. Okay, all these people calling up blind. I've been blind since third. You know, I really am very, very nearsighted.
All right.
But then I couldn't even see the numbers on the meter. They're so small. Now I called the company and they said it's the test strip. They're compromised. It's not the meter, and they're going to send me all new test strips.
Good. So excellent.
I apologize to the doctor. And I don't know if I could say the name of the grocery store. Can I say the name of the grocery store?
No, well, it's irrelevant. They're not making the test strips. They're selling the test strips.
The grocery, I'm changing the subject again.
Maybe we need a little bell or something. All right, so we've changed the subject. What are we talking about grocery stores for?
Well, the one grocery store has strawberries 59 cents a double quart, and apples 69 cents a pound. It's on Milwaukee Road.
All right.
Past the park. I'm not going to say the name of the store.
Well, whatever. Why are we talking about the price of strawberries?
Because I'm trying to help people.
How?
You know, in my area, I mean, it's very, very.
Well, very good. All right, now we know.
A wholesale store. They have apples 69 cents a pound. I mean, it's like a zoo in there. Uh-huh. Well, not as much as it used to be. Sometimes people, it's like a wholesale store, and people bump into you with your cart, and people scream at each other. But, I mean, you're getting a deal, laugh all the way to the bank, 59 cents for a double quart of strawberries.
All right. Well, now we know. Okay, so we'll try to get You're the Cream in My Coffee in probably one of the originals from 1928. And I will play that for you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, well, God bless, and I don't know. I mean, the thing that was so weird about that diabetic meter, they're in the business of diabetes, and a lot of people are so vision impaired.
Why would
they make those?
Wait a minute. This is actually a very serious subject, and anybody who uses a meter needs to know that they are inherently not accurate in those test strips. Now, they allow for a margin of up to something like a weird 20% difference. So, as I've said repeatedly, if you are going to do your blood sugar and you care about what it is, make sure you every quarter do an A1C test to find out what's really going on. And that's it.
And that was why I left Resurrection. She had said to me that it would only be done every 9 months because it was under control, and Medicare wouldn't pay for it. I think that hospital is for
kids. Yeah, you've mentioned that before, and you found out that wasn't accurate, and you've worked around it, so all is well.
Yeah, all is well. And what was I going to say? Why would they make the numbers to call on the meter so small?
No. Oh, all the questions of life that we ponder. All right, thanks. Talk to you soon. All right, so there we have it. It's actually a 15% margin of error that they allow, plus or minus on test strips, and that's the ISO standards. And so 95% of the results have to fall within specific ranges. So, for instance, let's say you read that you've got 100 mgdl. That reading must be plus or minus 15 to be accurate. And I know you're saying, wait a minute, there's a very big difference between 85 and 150. Yes, indeed. But that's the way it is. All right. So 888-876-5593. And Floyd is in Iowa. And hopefully you heard his request last night. And I think he has another one. So we played it, Floyd.
Okay. And really, I've got another request, too. There's an artist I heard long ago. I used to hear it on the radio all the time. The artist is Dave Dudley. And the tune is 6 Days, I believe it's called 6 Days on the Road.
Oh, it was a huge, huge hit, yes.
Oh, my word. And that guy's voice, there's no other singer or any person I've heard the voice like that when they get going on it.
Oh, yeah.
He cranks down on that good.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, go ahead, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually like that song, and I'll play it for you next. I have that.
And then there's another one, too. I heard Art Bell talk about it. Art Bell's gone now, but he had a show on overnight, coast to coast.
Right, of course.
He'd go from midnight to 4 a.m. That kept me awake through the night.
Okay.
He'd go in there and he'd say, he played once and he said, he defied the audience. You tell me this is a country song. And what it was the Highwaymen, and the group was the Highwaymen.
Right.
It was Johnny Cash.
Uh-huh.
Who else was in that? Waylon Jennings. Who's that gun? They call that Kris Kristofferson. He just died here not long ago.
Yep.
And the other guy was Willie Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
They sang a tune called The Highwayman. I swear, Raleigh, Art Bell defied anybody to call that a country song. It didn't sound like any song I'd ever heard before. Have you ever heard that?
Well, the group that I know, the Highwaymen, actually is not any of the people you've mentioned. I know those individuals did record together, but are you sure they were the Highwaymen?
I'm not, because he called the name of that tune, and he played it, and then he went to break,
okay.
And then we came back, and he called off. I thought the name of that tune was Willie Nelson starts off with something about singing about a being a robbery and. And I've heard that name,
guess,
The Highwaymen, I think.
I guess they must have used the same name in the 80s, because I'm aware of it was Johnny Cash and Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson and Kris Kristofferson. But as far as that goes, they had a number one hit with their self-titled song, which was Highwayman. And maybe that's the one you're thinking of.
I wonder if that's the tune. But I'll tell you, I like that Dave Dudley tune, 6 Days on the Road.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, many times that kept me going.
I will absolutely.
And your show.
Absolutely play that.
Let me let you talk.
No, I was going to say, I think that the original 60s folk group actually sued them. So, yeah, they did. I'm pretty sure
I guess you'll have that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was the deal. But anyway, I will definitely play 6 Days on the Road for you next, and I will see if I can find Highwayman, because I'm pretty sure that was the name of the album.
And Art Bell could tell us, but he's going. That show he had, Raleigh, I'll say that guy. There's never been another host like him.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Let me talk to you later.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I thought Art was perfect for that. You know, he was made for that show. And it was obvious that he was influenced by Herb Gipco and the Nightcaps, and you can hear a lot of that affectation. But there was no one quite like Art. And I don't want to shudder thinking of what it is now. We won't go there. We'll talk to Don and Beloit and you two, and we'll play Dave Dudley. Yeah, number one record, 6 days on the road, coming up on WGN Radio.
Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up and she's a-running like I never before. There's a speed zone ahead, well, all right. I don't see a cop in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. I got me 10 forward gears on a Georgia overdrive. I'm taking little white pills and my eyes are open wide. I just passed a Jimmy in a white. I've been a-passing everything in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm a-gonna make it home tonight. But it seems like a month since I kissed my baby goodbye.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I just realized that is not the original 45 on Golden Wing. I'm going to dig that up and play it next. And we'll talk about that record because, boy, it was really interesting that ever became a hit. And yes, it is a truck driving classic. And we'll get to your calls as well coming up on WGN Radio.
Well, I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up and she's a-running like I never before. There's a speed zone ahead, well, all right. I don't see a cop in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm a-gonna make it home tonight. I got me 10 forward gears on a Georgia overdrive. I'm taking little white pills and my eyes are open wide. I just passed a Jimmy in a white. I've been a-passing everything in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm a-gonna make it home tonight. But it seems like a month since I kissed my baby goodbye. I could have a lot of women, but I'm not like some of the guys. I could find one to hold me tight, but I could never make believe it's all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, there it is on Golden Wing in 1963. And boy, it's an interesting story. Dave Dudley was completely unknown as far as that goes, singer from a small place in Wisconsin. And the record, though, the song was a Muscle Shoals song. And it actually was recorded before Dave Dudley in 1961. And the guy's name, Paul Davis, that's what it was. Paul Davis had the original 45, and it was on Bulletin, which was a little Nashville label. And it did absolutely nothing. And it's, by the way, not the same Paul Davis as later you knew who had hit records and all that. This is a different guy. And so it comes out in 1961, and it does absolutely nothing. And you can hear why.
Well, I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down the eastern seaboard. Got my diesel wound up and she's running like she's never before. There's a speed zone ahead, but all right. I don't see a cop in sight. 6 days on the road, I'm gonna make it home tonight.
And so it languished for a couple of years with nobody doing anything with it. And, you know, Bulletin was unknown and Paul Davis was unknown. I don't know how Dave Dudley came about finding it, but I know that the interesting thing, he was on Golden Wing, a label nobody heard of, well, except Mercury Records, who sued him. Mercury said, we're Golden Wing. You know, we hold that that copyright. So they changed the name of the label after 6 days on the road to Golden Ring. But nonetheless, here comes Golden Wing, and you're saying, how the hell did that ever become a hit, right? Distribution. Soma. Right. Amos Heiliger, the Heiliger brothers in Minneapolis, who racked the pretty much the entire Midwest. And that is the strength of it. Actually, didn't get to number one on the country charts. I looked that up. It got to number two. But that's still pretty darn good. And far from the first truck driving song, to say the least, but really the first that spawned a number of others in that period of time. So, David Dudley was David Perduska, and he was from Spencer, Wisconsin, and sadly died in 2003. All right, so that's the deal. If you can name another song by Dave Dudley, well, you're doing better than I usually am. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and I hope Floyd liked that. Don is in Beloit. What's up, Don?
Hey, Raleigh. How you doing?
Hey, just a
housekeeping thing here. You got a Blackhawks game tomorrow night, and it's in Salt Lake City, so it's 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. So what's your official schedule? Did they say anything?
Well, you never know about an official tomorrow schedule, but I think we probably have a half hour show. I'd say we've probably got midnight 30 to 1 a.m. Central Time.
Yeah,
I'm thinking.
Well,
that's the deal.
You're right. I remember catching you on, I think you had a 9-minute show, and I caught you on that.
Oh, yeah. You know, that stuff happens, but, you know, I'm paid by the hour, so 9-minute shows sound good to me.
Right. Well, I really enjoy how you, you've probably done this throughout your career. You almost dare people to call in, and you did all these great history. Like, and I enjoy it when you were doing the history lesson last night early. That was so much fun listening to that, the battle on the ice.
Oh, yeah.
On Lake Peipus in what's now Estonia, on the big, big lake in the border with what's now Estonia.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. That 1242, what a epic battle.
It sounds like it spawned modern-day hockey to me.
That was brilliant. Yeah, that was brilliant. Yeah. So I really appreciate you playing my songs. That was so great. And I really liked how you added that burnt toast one. That was really fun. I'm sorry, you'll have to tell me which one that was. But
yeah, Mike Pedersen Trio, burnt toast and black coffee. Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. I guess I wanted your thoughts on Sylvia Vanderpool.
Yeah.
And wow, so many different epics of her career, you know. And I see what you mean about the Bo Diddley connection.
Oh, yeah.
1955, they meet up, and that results in that biggest hit, that Love is Strange song, right?
It was huge. She was singing before that. You know, she was on a bunch of little labels as Little Sylvia and all that kind of stuff. But when she and Mickey Baker got together, that was just magic. And really, I know Bo Diddley claims he wrote it, and he might have written the lyrics. But if I had to give the money to any one person, it would be Jody Williams, because it was his guitar riff that song is built on.
Okay. Well, I guess Mickey saw what was popular with Mary Ford, Les Paul and Mary Ford.
Oh, yeah, right. Thought, well, absolutely.
We could do, yeah.
Sure,
and that's
sure.
Really, I could do what they're doing.
Yeah. And that's what caused both of their careers to take off. But Sylvia Robinson from the beginning, and of course Robinson, because that was her married name, Joe Robinson, bad boy Joe Robinson, as she married. But when she was still Sylvia Vanderpool, she produced Joe Jones' You Talk Too Much. Never got the credit for it, but she did. And they started a little record label, Willow, and I think King.
Willow, right, yes. 1961.
All right,
Baby, You're So Fine.
All right, Sid Nathan distributed that, and that's, which is King, Federal, all that. That's why it got, you know, got some play. And but like I say, a lot of people didn't realize that they were on It's Gonna Work Out Fine by Ike and Tina Turner, which was neat.
So it's no surprise that they meet up and work with Ike and Tina at the same time. There's another young couple very similar to them in many ways, and they work together. Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
So that was That was the deal. And then, you know, like I say, it seemed like it was over in 64. Baker moved to Paris, and I don't think he ever came back. He was just absolutely not enchanted with the music industry in the USA, and who could blame him? So he, right. he left the country, and you'd normally think, well, that would be the end of it. And she'd married Joe Robinson, who, you know, was a businessman, to put it nicely, as far as that goes. And they formed All Platinum. Within a couple of years, which, you know, was a mid-60s label that had some hits, Leslie Valentine, The Moments, things like that. So that was pretty good. But they really struck pay dirt with Sugar Hill Records. And that right. was that was pretty amazing. Rapper's Delight, as far as that is. So, you know, and Sylvia was terrific. She really was. And proved that didn't matter the decade or the genre, she could do it.
Well, it sounds like she learned how to play guitar, and she just kept banging away at writing songs.
Well, Mickey taught her guitar, as far as that goes. Mickey was the guitarist in the group. But what it really was, though, is knowing the taste of the people. Most people who were having a 1956 hit on Groove didn't later say, I can come up with Rapper's Delight. You know, it's just it usually doesn't translate that way. And just like when she did Pillow Talk, who she had given it to Al Green, and he said, no, I'm too religious for that, you know, basically. Oh, hell, I'll put it out myself. And, you know, who the hell would have ever thought? And some of those pictures of her, oh, my God, with that. And, she should be ashamed of herself. But in any of it, there was an ad in Billboard. Well, oh, geez. Well, anyway, but the thing becomes a huge hit. I mean, it's a gold record. And so
you're talking about Pillow Talk.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I mean, yeah, we know that it's a take off on that Serge Gainsbourg, Je T'aime. But regardless, you just don't think little Sylvia from Love is Strange is going to be doing Pillow Talk. So good for her as far as that goes, you know. And then, like I said, getting involved with the Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five and all of that. There's some great stuff there. She did very well.
Did you ever run into them? Did you ever see them live or anything like that?
No, I never saw Grandmaster Flash live, but certainly knew the record and knew it well, and had seen Mickey and Sylvia when they were on package shows back in the day, you know, when there'd be 92 artists on one stage in 23 minutes for a dollar. You know, I'm exaggerating, but not all that much. But and like I say, Joe Robinson, you know, you can check him out for yourself and decide. But he died in 2000.
2011.
But she died in 2011. He died in like 2000. But deal was, he had a mixed reputation, to be kind. And they wound up divorcing, but they were married like 20 years, 25 years, a long time. And they had three kids. And, you know, they were pretty together as far as that goes. So, yeah.
Did he keep performing in southern France? Did he keep performing, do you think?
Yes, but not anything we've heard.
Okay.
You know, as far as
I mean,
that
obviously,
goes.
You know, so many American musicians were so popular,
right.
Especially the jazz and Paris and everywhere
right.
else.
No, know. He was very big in the French music scene. More jazz stuff than anything. And, you know, the two things were, you know, the BS about the music industry, where after all, royalties are not optional. They don't exist as far as that. So the other thing that he was concerned about was the rising racial tensions. And so he recorded over 300 records on Barclay and spoke French. And he lived by Toulouse. And as far as that goes, but he also did guitar instruction books in French. Because he, you know, he learned the language fluently and all that. And yes, the complete guitar course in jazz guitar, and I'm pretty sure that's in French. So, he absolutely was involved in the French music scene heavily, played at the local festivals, and like I say, recording easily 300 records for festival. Not saying they all released, although some were on albums and stuff, but yeah.
I had no idea there was a connection there to Ike and Tina with that one first hit. It's going to work out fine. I would never have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, well, Ike was an interesting guy. I mean, apart from the reputational problems and all that, but I mean, musically, he was an interesting guy and involved in a lot of stuff. So that's not surprising. Remember, for the most part, none of this is big business. And so at the time,
no.
It didn't cost much to do a session. It didn't cost much to put out a record. So you had a lot of people who were on a lot of things, including the stuff for which they were known.
Can you give me that burnt toast? Who was that trio again?
Mike Pedersen.
Pedersen.
Yeah.
Anything popular?
Well, Mike Pedersen was a band leader. He was an older guy. He was born like in the teens of the last century in Philadelphia.
Wow. Okay.
And in fact, he died in Ardmore in 2016. I don't know why I know that, but he did.
You have so many Philadelphia connections.
Oh, yeah, of course. And so he had later switched to R&B influenced stuff, early rock and roll, because it paid the bills. But he was playing sax from the time he was a preteen, and he used to play on the Horn and Hard Art Children's Hour, You know the deal, and he was there for like 8 years, and then he did the Jersey Shore, the usual stuff, Summers Point, and all that kind of stuff, and he covered Faye Adams' Shake a Hand, as all of that goes. But he made it to like 98 years old. He was when I heard he died, I said, "Gee, I'm sorry he died, but man, he had to be 100." Well, I was close. He was 98.
So he would have been on lots and lots of albums.
Well, but again, a saxophone player, and a lot of the cameo sessions in Federal and Gotham and RCA Groove and all that. But he did some cute things like that burnt toast and black coffee that I liked, but many other things as well.
Yeah. Well, I really like that Love is Strange that you played. That was brilliant. Yeah. That was so great. I really appreciate you pointing out this story.
Oh, sure. Sure. Sylvia. Absolutely. Well, it's good to talk to you as always.
Thank you
so
much.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Have a great show.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
How do you call your lover boy? 888-876-5593. Want to talk right now about one of my favorite subjects, radio, and the Sea Crane Company, because they are the best radios. And Bob Crane years ago came up with the concept, we all knew it, that radio reception sucked and he could do better. I mean, that's the technical way to put it. Actually, it was true, especially in the 80s and stuff, is reception was just like an afterthought in radios. And he said, no, there's a way to do this better. And every radio that Bob Crane has developed has terrific AM and terrific FM reception. But all of them have different features, and probably the most versatile, and the one that's going to save your neck if you just need to pick one radio that you need to have, the CC Radio Solar with Bluetooth is the one to have. Why? Because it's going to work no matter what. Yeah, you can get an optional AC adapter. You can put in some batteries. It works for quite a while. You can put it in a windowsill by the sun and have solar power for a lot of hours. But when all else fails, no batteries, no sun, no AC, no nothing, you hand crank the back of it for about 30 seconds, it plays for at least 30 minutes, and it will work. It also has an LED light in it, so you will, what do you reach for when the power's out? You reach for the flashlight, you reach for the radio. Well, here, with a built-in LED, you got both. In addition to that, it also can power up your cell phone. Now, again, this isn't an emergency, and that'd be to make the one important call, and it won't work on every cell phone, but it may be the thing that gets you that call that you really need when you need it, as far as that goes. Now, day-to-day use, it's beautiful too, because it's about the size of a brick. It's white, and it's got a nice design, and 5 one-touch memories, and like I say, that great reception, AM and FM, and audio that you will enjoy no matter what's going on. And it's got the weather band and the weather alert as well, and it doubles as a Bluetooth speaker, and a good one too for your favorite shows. So you can read about the CC Solar Radio and with Bluetooth and order it too. Go to ccradio.com, look at the CC Radio Solar. Yeah, I think you'll be impressed at how it looks. If you can't go online, give them a call, 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE, a good number to remember because they'll answer all your questions as well. And yes, you can order by phone. But if you can, go to ccradio.com. Look at the CC Radio Solar with Bluetooth. I think you'll like it as much as I do. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Let me tell you that I came home so late last night. looked but found no one in sight. Guess that I'll investigate who's been keeping my baby out late.
I'm eating
burnt toast
and drinking
black coffee.
Eating
burnt toast
and drinking
black coffee.
Eating
burnt toast
and drinking
black coffee. That's all she left for me. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner too. I used to sit across from you, but now I face an empty chair. You are gone and I wonder where.
I'm eating
burnt toast
and drinking
black coffee.
Eating
burnt toast
and drinking
black coffee.
Eating
burnt toast
and drinking
black coffee. That's all she left for me.
WGN Radio, that's the original 1956, that's Shorty Long. No, not the Motown Shorty Long. This guy was from Reading, and his name was Emidio Vagnoni, and he chose Shorty Long, and born in 23, died in 91. And yeah, he wrote it and recorded it, and that was the first one. There's seven or eight versions of Burnt Toast and Black Coffee. So there you have that. All right, so now, with that in mind, we're going to welcome Tom, and Tom is a first-time caller. And he is in Johnsburg, Illinois. All right, Tom, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
What's up?
Hey, I hear you all the time on the radio, but I have a question. I had wondering what you know in consideration about monovision. Just to let you know where I'm at, I had cataract surgery and was corrected for distance
right.
in the left eye, which is the dominant eye,
good.
On Monday,
mm-hmm.
and so far so good. Tuesday I had to visit with the doctor, post-op visit, and he says he likes what he sees, and that, and I started to ask him about monovision, mm-hmm. and he didn't have too much more time that, but he said we'll be doing a follow-up next middle of next week. With the first surgery,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he says he's going to make sure that everything is perfect before we even move on
okay.
to the next eye.
Okay.
And I was thinking about monovision only mm-hmm. because after I had the surgery, I'm reading street signs. Everything looks so much after right. cataract, you know, mm-hmm. too, and that the colors are so much deeper.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem reading the signs. And
mm-hmm.
I'm like, and I haven't even had the second eye done yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that has cataracts as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering about monovision because
okay.
otherwise they said if you get it both for distance correction, because I had more nearsightedness problems, like six at one eye and
okay.
on the left eye, and then like minus three in the other.
Okay. I know all about
situation.
I know all about monovision, and because I've done it with contact lenses for many, many years. I'm close to legally blind, so when you're talking about a 6 power or 3 power, no, my powers are double digits. But what I will say is that once I realized that my left eye was the dominant eye, I took to it like a duck to water, and never
well, my
had
left
a problem.
Eye is the dominant
right, exactly.
Eye.
Well, the reason I say that is very often they can get it wrong, and so as long as you know you've got it right, and your left eye is your dominant eye, right now your right eye isn't done. So how are you feeling when you just look without any correction on your right eye? Does it bother you?
I don't. It's so strange to me. It's like I don't feel like I'm looking for problems, and
okay.
you know, I can't really.
Well, then you're
find a,
well, okay.
A lot of them.
Your brain's made the connection, then you're fine. Normally, I would advise people to try it with contact lenses first if they never had. But I'm a big believer in it for people who can do it, because if you go with distance for your right eye as well, you're going to be miserable, because not only will you not see close-up, you won't see your mid-vision. And so
that's what I wanted to ask.
Oh, yeah. If you correct it perfectly for distance, you're not going to read your speedometer. It's just that simple. Mid-vision will go away if you go perfectly for distance. So,
and I was concerned about reading the computer.
Right.
I'm
well,
on the computer,
you.
I'm on the phone.
Yep. You wouldn't read any of that. Forget it. And so that's why I don't advise going correcting totally for distance. You can decide how much of a correction you want to make in your right eye. You know, I'm abnormal, so I want almost no correction because, you know, when you're as blind as I am, the one advantage you have is that your close-up vision is incredibly good, and you lose that. You know, I mean, mine is microscopic.
My close-up vision isn't like you're saying.
Right, of course it isn't. No, of course it isn't because you're not that nearsighted. I understand that. So you wouldn't be giving that up anyway. And so you wouldn't, you know, you don't miss what you've never had. So I would pick something that would definitely allow me all my mid-vision and probably allow me to at least rudimentary read. I'm not saying you need to read every fine print, although I personally would, but you need to at least be able to handle it. But the big thing is tell them to protect your mid-vision.
You would say mid-vision because, like, say I look at like a envelope or print and stuff on reading, you know, whatever, a magazine.
Uh-huh. Right.
And I'm like, well, the right eye might need to have something to read that.
Well, that's exactly right. I'll tell you how you can do. Cover your right eye. Because your left eye is corrected for distance. When you cover your right eye, that's how you would see if you did your right eye for distance as well. And so when you do that, you're going to see that you lose your mid-vision.
I'm not. See another. So like if I hold the paper.
But forget about the paper. First, put your hand over your right eye so your right eye is not involved in the equation. Now look at something. Look at your computer. Look at a piece of paper, whatever you want.
Okay, I'm trying it because I'm in the front of a computer, mostly looking
okay.
at print.
All right, so fine. Either way, if you have your hand over your right eye, are you still seeing fine with your computer?
Yeah, there's some haze. I mean, these are pretty big letters, and I have it set up for high contrast.
All right, but
seeing this other, like there's a graph with tinier print, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not seeing it good.
Right,
and
exactly.
And then looking at the, like a letter in the mail, the address is kind of blurred, yep.
Right, exactly. Well, that's what you'd get if you correct your other eye for distance.
Now the right eye, so I'm covering the left eye.
Well, don't cover the left eye because we don't care about that. You see, the point is your right eye right now, I don't know exactly how impaired it is to know this. But if you want to do that, looking at with just your right eye, can you read? Shouldn't be that good if you have cataracts there.
No, it the only time I can get is when I get it like 5 inches from the face.
Yeah, all right.
And I do know that the cataract is there because of the coloring, you know, once that left eye was, you know, with the new lens put in for distance. And the clear lens, you know, it's clear because it's not cataracts anymore. I'm telling you, the deeper colors in the TV and the white, the pure white, is so much different.
Right.
It's amazing.
Right. Well, very often, what you've probably got is typical, like, nuclear cataracts. If you had posterior cataracts, which would be at the back of the lens, you wouldn't notice as much a difference in the color. But with the color, I think you have nuclear cataracts right in the center of the lens. And that's probably the most common.
Okay, I'm not sure what that all meant, but I'm saying the colors are so much more vivid now that I'm like, wow, what was that here, you know?
Right. And part of that.
So now I'm trying to make this short term decision. I go, I don't see it real. I'm looking, what am I missing? Because I haven't driven at night yet. I was wondering about that because, like, right now, if I look outside, I have like a light, like a post light in the front yard. And if I cover the right eye, then that light looks fine. But if I have both eyes, and then I'm looking at it going, well, now that right eye light looks like a blurred, stars on it.
Remember that right eye has a cataract in it. So that's going to give you the effects you're talking about.
Okay.
So you're not.
See, that's the part I don't understand. It gives you that, but it doesn't give you the effect of the you know, if you had it Is that because of the cataract itself?
Yes, the cataract will cause everything from the halos, and you'll get a lot of halos around lights and things like that.
Like our star type of
Yes. Pretty common. And that's
okay.
So you're trying to make a comparison, but you've already got a cataract in that eye. That's why I was saying we don't really care about your right eye for this comparison, because your right eye is impaired with a cataract. So it won't give you your answer.
Oh.
Because you want to know how it is after the cataract is removed.
And then he'll remove the cataract, but he says, tell me what your objective is. And he says, the only... You know, and he didn't say get into it much because he had to go to another.
Well, yeah, unfortunately. Right. But you can decide for yourself, you know, without talking to him, and then you can go back to him and do it in a couple sentences. What you need to know is, where is the sweet point? What do you need to easily see without glasses?
Well, I want to see my phone and my computer.
Then that's what you say. Then that is exactly what you tell them. That's called mid-vision, by the way. And that's exactly what you tell them.
Because sometimes with the phone, you know, that's a lot tinier print. The computer might be bigger. All depends.
Well, of course it does.
And you're sitting further away from your computer than your phone. Like,
right.
I want to put my phone on my lap. I'm a taller person. But then I want to put it on my lap or something, or sit and lay my hand on the table without having any contraptions and all that to hold it.
Well,
or just lay it on there. In my hand, or just lay it flat on it. Like,
so, okay.
On an angle.
Here's what you do. Pick your favorite position for the phone, whether it's on the table or wherever it is, your favorite position. Now, measure the distance between that position and your eye.
You want me to do that right now?
No, do it whenever you want. But what I'm saying is that's what you're going to tell them. You say, from my sweet spot, I want to be able to see something that is 9 inches away, or whatever the answer is.
Yeah, like something like that, right.
And so your left eye is tuned for distance, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine. So now we want to tune your right eye for what's important to you. Like I say, for me, I would want it to be as ridiculously low power as possible, because I want to really see the fine print. But most people aren't going to need to do that.
But see, I don't know why you say, do you have vision problems in your right eye?
I have vision problems in both of my eyes.
So were you nearsighted like I was?
I'm very, very, very nearsighted, but not only. I have other issues as well. And when you're as nearsighted as I am, you have retinal problems. So like retinal tears and holes and things
about,
like that.
Like the one thing he said, it hasn't affected my vision, and I think you always said it was the right eye. It hasn't affected my vision, but I had the very start of glaucoma, and he did do a little laser to get the pressure down, and he said it did come down. So I didn't know. I was like, you know, what are long-term effects with this monovision?
No, the monovision would have nothing to do with it. Anytime you do cataract surgery, your pressure might go higher for a while. It's not unusual. It's also, everybody has the possibility, although if you've got fairly good vision to begin with. The difference, by the way, is if you're very nearsighted, you have what are known as long eyes. And so,
yeah, and I had my vision corrected, right. And then up until recently in that, you know, I was wearing glasses, but it changed from, initially I started, just so you get a background, I don't know if this affects it or not, I had LASIK 15 years ago. At that, before LASIK, I was a -9.
Okay.
-9.5, something like that.
All right.
Then I got it down to 1.5, 1.75 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, which, because I couldn't do it perfect. And then 15 years later, I was wearing glasses, -6.
Okay.
And then -3. And
all
then
right.
Now the left eye, which was the -6, was corrected, and I'm loving it. Now I want to know, you know, that monovision will work by doing something for in between, like maybe what you're saying, for the right eye.
Right. Absolutely, it'll work. Now, if your vision was originally a -9, you have long eyes. And so with long eyes, and they probably told you about it, or they should have, it increases the chances of detaching retinas. It probably will not happen, but it does slightly increase the chance. And so...
You did tell me about that.
Right. That's something to be aware of. But none of that has anything to do with our question now, which is fine-tuning your vision for where you want to
that's
see
what
it.
I wanted to hear.
And that's what, so nothing that you decide to do with how you decide to have your vision corrected is going to affect whether you have glaucoma, whether you got uveitis, whatever you've got. It's not going to affect it. So you're doing this just for your comfort. And the important thing to be able to do is elucidate it to the doctor to the point that he understands what you want him to do. So that's why I said if you can measure, you know, looking at the phone at a distance and say, hey, it's 16 inches or
but
whatever.
But would I need to wear glasses in between ones for the computer?
No, well, you can tell them you don't want to. That's the joy of monovision. You do a situation where your monovision will cover both the computer and the phone. Do the same thing. Measure how far
would that work?
Well, measure how far you are from the computer. It's probably not that much different than the phone.
Well, like my computer screen right now where I'm sitting is my arm's length. I don't know how far that is. But right. I wouldn't be holding my phone, my arm's length to read it.
Well,
I usually hold my phone a little closer.
Your computer screen is also much larger than your phone. So
right. So
that's why we're making it up for that. But I tell him everything. Say, I sit in front of a screen, and you know how big your screen is. You know, I sit in front of a 25-inch screen, and on the average website, this is what I want to be able to read. I'm using my phone, the average cell phone, and it is X number of inches away from me. That's what I want to see.
Okay, so give him the real measurement distance, and then that way he'll know.
Well,
you can't do. I'm just thinking in my head, Raleigh, that you can't do both. Like, you know, if your computer's usually further away, and your phone is
your phone is smaller than your computer, so it is all right. You're not comparing apples to apples. You're not looking at your phone screen as far away as your computer screen. In other words, if you pick up your phone and hold it as far from you at the arm's length distance, you can't see the phone anymore.
Right.
Right, exactly. So when we're correcting, we can correct for the bigger screen and the letters that are there and the smaller phone and the letters that are there. That can be the same correction.
Oh,
but,
really?
Yes, it can.
Oh.
But now here is the sorry truth on this. This is the biggest complaint people have with cataract surgery statistically is they don't like, if they have a problem, they don't like the correction. Some doctors are much better at it than others, but all, if they're honest, will tell you it is not an exact science. One of the things I really like for lenses right now is the light adjustable lens. Because with the light adjustable lens...
he didn't like that. I told him about that.
Why didn't he?
He didn't like
why?
That.
Does he not
There's been issues with it.
Well, it depends how much experience he has with it.
That may be too.
Well, that definitely is it. But I at least give him credit for the fact that he doesn't have that level of experience and doesn't want to do it. But if it were me, that's what I would be looking for.
But he kind of said, because I had already asked him that.
Yeah.
He said, well, he said he's heard some... I don't know what it was he said, but he didn't say as much as, you know, he said there was something that he didn't like about that.
Yeah, well, and, you know, that's his choice. At least he's honest.
It hasn't been tested as long, too, he said.
Well, of course not. Like anything.
It hasn't been as wrong.
Well, none of them have. Other than the standard lenses, none of them have.
Well, what I got now is a toric.
Right, because you're correcting astigmatism at the same time. Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Okay.
We'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
I was a highwayman, along the coach roads I did ride, with sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The bastards hung me in the spring of 25, but I am still alive.
I was a sailor, I was born upon the tide, with the sea I did abide. I sailed a schooner around the Horn of Mexico. I went aloft to furl the mainsail in a blow. And when the yards broke off, they said that I got killed. but I'm living still. I was a dam builder across a river deep and wide, where steel and water did collide. A place called Boulder on the Wild Colorado.
At radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that was the request, the Highwaymen doing Highwayman, and I looked up the lawsuit because I knew there was one, and so this was an interesting resolution as far as that goes. And of course, the modern version of it, Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings and Kris Kristofferson, they were sued by the group, the folk group from the early 60s on UA that had Michael, and you row the boat ashore, yeah, that thing, in any event, they said, hey, we own this name. Well, the resolution of this was, and the lawsuit was dropped after all parties came to an agreement. And the deal is the original folk group owns the name, period. But they have granted a non-exclusive, non-transferable license to the Super Country Group to use it while they were alive and performing and all that. So what did they get? Well, they didn't get money. What they got was the country group, meaning Nelson and Jennings and et al., featured the original Highwaymen as their opening act at the Universal Amphitheater in 1990 while Highwayman was big. So giving them quite a bit of exposure, and they said, oh, okay. And so that's how that worked out. All right, now we're talking to Tom, who is a first-time caller who's about to go for his second eye in cataract surgery, and I've agreed that monovision's a good way to go. So, yeah, it seems like you're on track, and, you know, whatever your doctor feels is great, but the more solid information you can give them about what you want to achieve, the better off you'll be.
Right. So what about night trip driving? I haven't done it yet. I was going to try it maybe tomorrow.
Well, it shouldn't be a problem. But again, what you're seeing now, because your right eye is impaired with a cataract, you're seeing glare and you're seeing shadows and all that. That has nothing to do with the vision correction. That has everything to do with the cataract. So what you might want to do is do something where you are having your right eye closed when you drive and see how you're driving with your left eye alone.
Yeah, I've tried a couple things just looking out the windows at night and stuff, like just like last night and tonight, and wow, everything still looks clearer there. But when I have the right eye, I was just concerned that it was going to affect adjust that for more close-up, if it was going to affect that glare or anything that you see in the lights and stuff.
No, the glare you're seeing is because of the cataract, not because of the vision comparison.
So you kind of say, like, if I don't seem to have, like, especially during the daylight, I don't seem to see any problem going around. What am I missing without having the distance vision in both? Is it just peripheral, or is there something about depth perception?
Yeah, if you were to measure it, there's a depth perception loss. But if it's not affecting you, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, because you said, like, reaching the door. So I'm reaching door handles in my house, and I'm, like, left hand, right hand. I don't see a problem.
I don't see a problem with that either. And some people are more adaptable than others. You know, some people, when they're looking at a lens that is some form of bifocal or whatever, they have trouble with that. Other people just, you know, like a duck to water.
Speaking of that, he said I was not a candidate, from what I recall, for multifocal lenses, for whatever reason.
I would say, just like he doesn't like the light adjustable lenses for whatever his reasons are, I'm not crazy about the multifocal lenses, because that, you will get some glare with that. You will get some halos.
And I thought I tried that with glasses one time, and I'm like, no, I can't deal with this.
Well, with glasses, it's a different thing. But I just think that some people are thrilled with them. But as far as I'm concerned, looking at it statistically, it's not ready for prime time. If you're worried about halos and glare.
Say that again.
I say it's not ready for prime time if you're worried about halos and glare. So I wouldn't go with multifocal.
No, I don't think I want that. Yeah. But the monovision, the one that
I would do, that. Absolutely do that. You just have to decide how much of a difference you want.
So just to, like you said, just tell him, you know, here's what I need for the computer as I'm looking around the screen. Here's what I need for the phone and everything else. I don't see an issue.
And when I'm sitting in my car driving down the street, I want to look at my gas gauge and I want to look at my speedometer and I want to see them.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't have digital, but, you know, like when digital comes out, you know, it'll be tiny stuff, bigger, you know. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but you see, that way you're giving him some yardsticks that hopefully he can interpret.
Because he's only going to do one correction, so I guess he's going to have somewhere in between the two.
Well, no, that's up to you. Like I say, if it were me, I'd want the correction to be massively different. But for some people, you may want it between the two. It's up to you. That's a personal choice.
Well, when you say, that's the part I'm trying to capture, you know, without dragging this out. Because I'm looking at, like, I guess I'm not maybe getting the concept. When you look at the phone and look at the computer, because even the, like, before all the cataracts, the optometrist gave me a pair of lenses for distance and the in-between lenses for closer for the computer screen,
okay,
I should
right.
say, only.
You can do that. Absolutely.
There was a reason she did that. But
well,
figured if I get this monofocal, I probably won't need glasses at all.
You won't. You won't, as long as you do a big enough variance where your right eye is able to handle all the tasks you want to give it. You shouldn't need glasses at all.
A big enough area.
Well, a big enough difference. Yeah. In other words, you want to be able to look at your phone and read the small words on it. And that's what you tell them. I want
yeah,
to be able
you'll
to
see the small print.
Yeah,
like
that's right. That's what you tell them.
Screen
right.
With the time.
So if you get that, you will be able to do both.
Oh, so make it more for the smaller print.
Well, you're right. Your left eye is corrected 100% for distance. For your right eye, you want to make sure that you're correcting it largely for close-up work.
All right. So it sounds like I should be a candidate. I shouldn't have to overthink
it. The things that you are worried about are not the things that are going to happen. I'll just say that.
Okay, with the glare.
Yeah, I'm not the least bit worried about that. You know, and what you're saying is you're comfortable now. Your brain is making the adjustment to one eye being vastly different than the other.
I think it did it automatically.
So, right, which is great. Which is great. So I don't see a problem as long as your doctor is good enough to know what to do to get you what you want. You should be in clover.
Well, then I'm going to press that's, you know, what I would like to see. I just tell them the description, like you said. I want to see with the phone
right.
at a certain distance, and then I want to sit at my computer and see it. What can we do to do that? Correct it.
Exactly.
And that's it. Keep
you
it as straightforward as that.
That's it. You got it. And just
wow, Raleigh, I really appreciate that I called
sure.
you on this. And it was like, you know what, you kind of knew. And then you also have it already, the monovision.
Oh, yeah.
You have it with contacts or with cataracts?
I can't do cataract surgery at this point because of some medical problems with my eyes. But I'd love to. I'd love to. But the retinologist
But you don't really
at this
have
point,
cataracts that bad then,
Oh,
guess,
no.
Right?
Well, they're posterior cataracts. They're pretty bad. But anyway, it's a whole different ballgame. But believe me, you don't want to be me as far as that goes. But it sounds like you're going to do just great, and I want you to call me and let me know how it goes. I think you're going to be happy.
All right, cool.
Okay.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks. Absolutely. Happy
Thank
to talk. Up. All right. So
have a great one.
You too. 888-876-5593 is 888-ROLLYE. Now, Kristen in Bridgeport wants to weigh in on this discussion. So good. What do you know, Kristen? Are you there? Kristen? Oh, well, I thought she wanted to weigh in. Well, maybe she'll call back. That would be good. 888-876-5593. I'll count on it on WGN Radio.
Without you, you're the starch in my collar, you're the lace in my shoe, You will always be my necessity. I'd be lost without you. Most men tell love tales, and each phrase dovetails. You've heard each known way. This way is my own way. You're the sail of my love home. You're the captain and crew. You will always be my necessity. I'd be lost without you.
WGN Radio, there it is. That's Cindy's request. You're the cream in my coffee. RCA Victor, Ted Weems and his orchestra. The vocal refrain is Parker Gibbs. All right, it was from a Broadway musical comedy, Hold Everything. All right, so Christine called back. I knew she would if we waited. All right, so Christine, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi. Okay, I understand exactly what you're trying to describe to the gentleman about their eyes. I, as you, had poor vision since I was 5, and I'm 65 years old. So now everybody talks to me and to go get LASIK. I'm like, no, I have contacts and I have glasses. They correct my vision. So now I did have a cataract, and it's in my right eye, which is, I don't know, dominant eye?
Well,
the one I want to see better from.
It may or may not be dominant. Dominant doesn't have anything to do with whether you have better vision in the eye. Dominant has to do with how the brain works.
Right. So I got that eye done, and now, like you said, to see close, I cannot look in the mirror and see my face.
Correct.
Like I used to.
Correct.
It's terrible.
Yes, it is.
It is.
I agree. I agree. And unfortunately...
Is it wrong to say I miss not seeing?
No, it's absolutely true. It's very frustrating.
Thank you.
And this is a big problem when people are making the decision on the power of the lenses. And a good doctor will go over that thoroughly so you know what you're getting.
And I did try the soft lens in the left eye to do the monovision.
Right.
But now that I don't, I do wear a contact in my left eye.
Okay.
To correct my vision for far.
Okay.
But there actually is, now that if I don't put the lens in, I do have monovision.
Right. You're absolutely right. You do.
I can read,
but
I still can't see my face in the mirror.
Yeah, because that's that mid-range. You're getting your extreme close-up, but you're not getting your mid-range. Yep.
Exactly.
Understood.
And you're not
alone. It is the biggest single complaint there is from people who do cataract surgery. They talk about how many million are done each year and how successful it is, and they're right about that. But where it's not necessarily successful is the choice of lens power. So
right.
It's important to think long and hard about that. I agree.
And then I should have had glasses when I was in second grade, got them at fifth grade.
Yeah.
But you're right. When I got my glasses, I saw the trees, the leaves on the trees for the first time in my life.
You know, I think we all have had that experience, and to this day, seeing that you could see individual blades of grass was the most startling thing I ever experienced. So, yes, everybody says the same thing, I know.
My parents were sad because they should have taken care of it sooner, but I was not one of those kids where, like, I got new glasses and hid them in the drawer.
Right.
Oh, no. I put my glasses on, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Guess what? I can see you now. I don't think I like you anymore.
Yeah. No, I'm with you
100%.
Well,
right.
I'm sorry you're going through the frustration.
But I'm okay with it.
Good.
I don't know if I'm going to go do the monovision because... I might not do anything. I might just leave me as it is.
And you may be fine doing that. You know, the best time to do cataract surgery is when you want to do it. So no one should ever make that decision for you.
And thank you very much. I wish my sister was listening to you.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, I can't fix siblings. Sorry about that.
Yeah, but I mean, it is true. It's like you said, when you're ready.
That's right. And you'll know. And that's a decision
and
you
then
make.
I was finally ready for the cataract.
Right. Well, that's it.
I don't think... I don't want to do the other eye. Well, I would do mono.
Right. Oh, I would too. Then you got your decision. Again, don't let anybody else make that choice for you. It's your decision, 100%. Thanks for calling. Do it again.
Appreciate it. Okay. Have a good night.
Okay, bye. All right, I can't believe it. We've pretty much run out of time. So apologies to everybody. Full boatload of calls, and we're already off the air. I'm talking to everybody who's on hold because the show is already over. Well, who knew? Is there another hour? Oh, there is another hour. Wait a minute. We have another hour. Hang on. Don't go away. All right. You know, the time zones are just killing me. All right, we've got another hour, and we'll pick it up right there. So please to Cindy and James and Robert and Elizabeth and Brian, hang in there. All right, another hour. Well,
a smile, so did you, but somehow we knew it was mine. Your eyes met with mine, your lips so divine, it was my last goodbye to you. Oh, darling, though you are gone, my dreams linger on, of days when we said, I love you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and you can tell that's on shellac from 1946. Eddie Howard, my last goodbye. It was Robert and LaGrange who requested it. He hates me. No, actually, Eddie Howard was a pretty big deal. He is one of the few band leaders who existed for his own vocals more than anything else to back himself up. He was a California boy, grew up in Southern California, went to San Jose State, and then enrolled in medical school at Stanford University until he realized that singing could pay off. And so it was. He auditioned into the Dick Juergens band in 1934, and interestingly, it wasn't singing. He auditioned playing the trombone, and then he stayed with the band, not playing the trombone, by the way, as a guitarist and a singer, and then went out on his own. So sadly, died very young, before 50 years old, and there's conflicting stories. Some say it was a cerebral hemorrhage in his sleep in Palm Springs. Others say it was choking on food in Catalina Island. I'll leave it to you. Either way, it was unexpected, and so it was that everybody scrambled afterwards to pick up some of the pieces, and Chris Powers led the Eddie Howard Orchestra in his honor, at least for a while. All right, so 888-876-5593. We will get to Robert. He can explain himself why he wanted to hear that. But before we do, oh, John says it is not good news. Oh, man. Elizabeth in Rock Falls, what's going on?
Well, the last time I talked to you, he was sitting up in the morning, and I gave him Pepsin, and that solved that.
Yes, we're talking Mr. Chubbs. By the way, we're talking Mr. Chubbs, for people who are not aware. Everybody's favorite rescue animal. What's going on?
Well, then he started choking on water.
Oh.
And I felt his neck to see if something was stuck there or what was going on.
Yeah.
And there were two very enlarged lymph glands.
Uh-oh.
So I took him right to the doctor, and she said she felt all over him and said that all the lymph glands were enlarged.
Yeah.
And that it was lymphoma.
Oh.
And at his age, it didn't seem like she was really pushing me toward chemo.
Right.
She has him on Premarin, 10 milligrams in the morning and 10 milligrams at night.
All right.
And that has supposedly helped shrink tumors for a little while anyway.
Okay.
But he probably has maybe 2, 3, 4 months to live.
Well,
or it could be faster.
Well, the most important thing at this point, you know, and I realize this is just a horrible time for you, but the most important thing is the quality of Mr. Chubb's life. And
I know.
As long, as long as he is managing to survive with the Premarin and is feeling reasonably okay and back to his old kind of self, then I would say that that's great news. But, you know, you'll know when the time is right because he'll tell you.
Oh, I know. I know. I've been through it before. So
I know. I'm so sorry.
It just wasn't ready for it, you know. It just
How old is Mr. Chubbs?
13.
Oh. And he's a random breed, but what's involved in Mr. Chubbs? Do we know?
Just the lymph glands, right?
No. I mean, what is his breed combination? What at 13 years old? What is his genetics?
Good question.
Okay. All right.
Partly collie, partly Australian Shepherd. Mixture of other things too, probably.
Okay. Well, you know, sadly, at 13 years old, and for a fairly large breed, he's. You know, getting, he's certainly a senior. And so, but also with that combination, they're very resilient. So he may surprise you. And I hope he does.
That's what people have said.
Yeah. I hope that that's the case. But in the meantime, treasure every moment you've got with him.
Right. When she talked about the chemo, she didn't seem like she wanted to really push that at this stage.
Right.
She said he would have to have a blood test to confirm it. He'd have to have his spleen removed and then weekly infusions of the chemo.
No.
And even that might even give him maybe 6 to 12 months.
Right, and how many months of those be good? No, I think that's the right call. But so they're not going to do any tests to confirm what the cancer is or stage or type or anything?
She was sure that's what it was.
Okay.
She said I've seen a lot of it.
Okay, well, she probably has. But as I say, I know that traditionally it's a very very resilient breed, a mix, I should say. And so now, how is his, we always laugh about his appetite because Mr. Chubb certainly was one for eating. How is his appetite now?
It has not decreased one bit.
Uh-huh. So well, that's a good sign.
But I've been feeding him more healthy food.
Good.
In addition to the little kibble, I give him
broccoli
and green beans and carrots and sardines and tuna and salmon.
Good.
He eats anything. You know, he'd eat Jell-O.
Oh no, this is obviously a canine garbage pail. I understand that, and we love him for it. But I think you're doing the right thing in terms of only feeding him healthy things. But I also think you're doing the right thing in letting him eat. This is no time for a rigid diet, but a good diet. I wholeheartedly approve that, and you know, hopefully he'll surprise the heck out of everyone. Stranger things have happened.
He, at times, he's clingy.
Yeah.
And then at other times, he just wants to be off by himself and contact. So he's changed a little.
Yeah. Sadly, there are probably times that he's just not feeling well. And when that's the case, he very well may want to go off on his own. That's a pretty normal animal behavior. So, you know, you just give him the space to do whatever he wants to do and you let him know that you're there when he wants you to be there.
Right. I'm going to have him groomed to the extent that he can stand it tomorrow.
All right. Well, can you be there while they're doing that?
No, I trust her.
She
helped me with another dog that was in the last stages of life, and she's a very good person who would just do anything to help them, get down on the floor with them to do it even.
Good. No, good. Well, then right. She's not going to tax him in any way that would be harmful,
no,
and that's important.
No, I'll see, you know, what I can do to make him comfortable, and if he seems up to it, you know, I'll do a little more. So
good.
We'll just try it by ear, I guess, and see what happens.
Yeah,
but I just feel bad.
Of course
feel
you
really
do.
Bad.
Oh, of course you do.
4 years.
Yeah, and it's tough at any time, but when you're dealing with a dog who's a senior to begin with, it makes it even tougher. You thought you've had a few more good years, and maybe you will. I'm not writing the end of the story yet.
No, I'm not either. I'm just day to day, keep him going.
Good.
Until he's not, and she said he will probably never be in pain.
That's important. God, wouldn't we all like to have that? My good
right.
God. Yeah, I'll settle for that right now.
I know.
Yeah.
I had a little bump on my face taken off last week, and then I found out it's squamous cell cancer, and I have to have more cheek taken out.
Well, at least it's not at least it's not melanoma.
No, it's not.
Yeah, but
I have to have a few stitches, he said.
Right.
But he pinched my other cheek and he said, "You have plenty of flesh there."
Oh, that's nice. That's
because
nice.
It's not on your nose.
Yeah, right. No, I'm sure that's probably true. But hopefully they caught that early and it's just going to be a little inconvenience and be fine.
I want to ask one more thing, Molly.
Yeah, what you got?
When he does go, he's just in so much company, and without an animal, the house is just so empty.
Yeah.
But I'm getting so old, I don't know whether it's fair to bring another animal in.
It very well may be fair, but there are so many factors involved in this. It's good that you're aware of that. Obviously, you don't want an animal who's going to be requiring an awful lot of exercise and energy and all the things that you're not going to day-to-day feel like doing. But, you know, there are, even though it breaks my heart when adopting a senior dog because they don't last so long, there are so many senior dogs in shelters who need a loving home that might be just perfect. So I would not rule it out, finding a good fit.
I live alone now.
Yeah.
And the barking comforts me because I know if anybody was trying to get in here, they'd hear the dog.
Right, of course. No, it's like a watchdog, of course, and it's company.
Right.
And it's great on so many levels. And yes, I think that you will find the right companion. That's the key, that the dog and you both match what you can and cannot do.
Right.
So, yeah.
He was known when I got him, so, I was in my early 80s. And
right.
I thought we were about matched up pretty good. But
yeah.
I'm still ticking.
Well, and that's great.
No,
and, you know, even if it came down to that you had a succession of senior dogs, while it's hard saying goodbye, what you're doing is giving them best end-of-life possibility, and they're giving a lot to you.
Right.
So
and that's definitely what I'm giving him.
Yeah. So, but let's not write that chapter right now. Let's pray that Mr. Chubbs defies everybody's estimation.
Yeah, and right now he's doing it.
Yeah, and may continue to.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, okay. Well,
I'm glad you took care of your skin because you didn't want that to go any further, and that'll be fine. But keep me posted.
Okay, I will.
Okay,
thanks.
You. Appreciate it. Yeah, so many of the cancers are so treatable when you get them at the early stages, and that sounds like all will be well. But yeah, it's tough. It's so tough. And for people who don't own pets, dogs, or in some cases cats, you know, it's harder for me to relate to a cat, but then again, I certainly understand there are some cat owners, it'd be hard for them to relate to a dog. But the bottom line is the loss is just heart-wrenching. It is. And society doesn't really account for that in many ways. You know, they, oh, just get over it. Yeah, right. Robert in LaGrange, welcome back to WGN Radio. Robert gave up. Well, I certainly hope he stayed up long enough to hear Eddie Howard, because that ain't happening again. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Oh, James on the South Side has some stories. Robert called back. All right, well, we'll be talking. I hope he heard Eddie. And Brian and Seneca. Ooh, all right. We're going to talk about the Chick-fil-A waffle fries. Why not? Coming up on WGN Radio.
So live it in peace, live it in truth, live it in love.
Live it in love, live it in love.
Why don't you live each day like it's your last one? You take control of your emotions, all your doubts and fears, and just laugh at the world and all its sadness, and replace joy for those salty, bitter tears. Oh, you've got one life to live, so give it your all, give it a lot, give it your best shot,
give it a lot, give it your best shot.
And then you greet every day with a little love in your heart. You go and do all the things you desire, all the things you dream of.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and it was Herb. And Herb was in Elgin who requested that, and I don't think I played it. So apologies to Herb for taking so long to get to Lou Rawls' One Life to Live, 1977, of course, Philadelphia International. All right, so Robert called back from LaGrange. Maybe he can explain this Eddie Howard request. All right, Robert, so welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh. I'm sorry that I... that you got so down about the song, but you know what? It wasn't so much the song, but I really liked his voice. His voice was so smooth and stuff.
Oh yeah, he had a great voice, but yeah, those down tempo things. It's like, oh my God, they're funeral dirges.
yeah. I could think of another singer from that time who did have. They called him the Satin voice, Nat King Cole.
Oh, well, of
too.
Course. Of course.
Had a great voice like that.
Oh, you betcha.
Yeah, so well, I know the song was kind of a downer, too.
Yeah. But hey, you asked for it, I delivered. 1946 on the Majestic label.
Right, yeah. And I did have another request when I called the first time.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
Well, I think you mentioned it. Now, you mentioned the Highwaymen. I remember the folk singers that they did that Michael
Those are the ones.
Blow the Voter Show.
Yep, those are the ones who sued Willie Nelson and all, and they opened for him at 1990. But yes, Michael, Row the Boat Ashore, It Is Sinking. Yes.
Right, and did the Highwaymen's people actually sue?
Yes. They filed a lawsuit, and it did not go to court. It settled out of court, but they did file it. And the settlement was that the Highwaymen, the 60s group, got to own the name no matter what. They licensed it to Johnny Cash's group. But the real big thing, what they threw in that I think made the Highwaymen cave, is they had the Highwaymen of Michael fame open for them at a big concert in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. So that kind of made up.
Yeah, they got they got exposure and they caved. Yep.
Exposure, right.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, Rob.
All right. I'll play Michael then for you. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Oh,
all right.
Okay,
so
bye-bye.
Good
now.
Deal. So absolutely. 888-876-5593. Time for the news on WGN Radio.
Thank you. shore. Alleluia.
Sister, help to trim the sails.
Alleluia.
Sister, help to trim the sails.
Alleluia. Michael, row the boat ashore. Alleluia. Michael, row the boat ashore. Alleluia.
The River Jordan is chilly and cold.
Alleluia.
Chills the body but not the soul.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, those were the Highwaymen, the group that sued Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash et al. They would not have won that lawsuit. And the reason I say that is even though they were the Highwaymen before Johnny and the group became the Highwaymen, they stopped performing in 1964, period. One of the members, Dave Fisher, continued in the music business, and he worked with a number of people, actually, but no hits or anything. But even Dave's group that he formed disbanded completely in 1967. So by the time 1990 is there, it's going to be hard for them to make the case. But I think what happened was that the Johnny Cash, Kris Kristofferson, Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson group probably recognized that they were big in their day and wanted to throw them a bone. And so what they did is they had them open for them in Los Angeles. But they were in Connecticut in college, which is the 50s was really odd. You had other people from Connecticut in college having hit records too, like the Playmates who did Beep Beep. Same kind of deal. But that pretty much is a medley of their hit. Michael, row the boat ashore, it is sinking. All right, so 888-876-5593, kind of like their career. And Cindy called back. Let's see if she's still awake. Are you still with us, Cindy?
Yeah, I put it all together, Googling it with, I Googled if Medicare will pay, because that doctor I had at Resurrection told me that Medicare won't pay for I laugh at this stuff. How could people be so...
Okay, you've known about this for a while.
Why
overthink this?
Now I know I could have a gynecological exam. I just figured it out today.
Uh-huh.
I put it all together while I was Googling and listening. It was United Healthcare, and the doctors were in bed at Resurrection.
All right, well, let's not go there. All right, so, but you...
This is a lawsuit over it, but business people don't change after a lawsuit. They just do the same thing.
All right.
Well, they were doing before.
Well, but that's in your past. So I would say take it out of your mind so it's one less thing to worry about.
Well, Lutheran General doesn't do business with Blue Cross and Blue Shield or United Healthcare.
Whatever.
So I have Humana now.
Whatever. As I say, you've solved the problem. Don't keep thinking about it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Whoa. All right. As far as I know, Medicare will cover 2 A1Cs for anybody. And if you have a medical need more than that, and you know, your doctor's involved with that too. But when you get insurers, private insurers in the mix as well, now you got a different situation. But nonetheless, bottom line is poor Cindy overthinks everything. Yeah. And calls to tell us about it too, which is probably more fun for us than for Cindy. But yeah, when she's resolved a situation, no need to hang on to it. Move forward. All right. Speaking of moving forward, let's see what Jim in Richmond has on his update. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Always.
I just wanted to give you an update. I went to see both doctors today.
Yeah.
And my pressures were good.
Good.
And I was happy that my glaucoma specialist gave me 2 bottles of the very expensive drops for my eye.
Excellent.
And then I went to the
retinologist
specialist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And And it was really weird because, you know, he was like rushing people in and out today. And they took a photograph of my eye. And for the first time, there was no swelling.
Yay!
And he had already determined that because they gave me Eylea HD last week, that he was going to give me the steroid today. And I said, my eye is not swollen. Both doctors said it was good. Well, we'll give you the steroid today, and then we're going to look into giving you Eylea each time you come next time. So I was not, you know, happy about that, but we settled that.
Okay.
And who is the person who has Mr. Chubbs?
Oh, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Okay. Bear is going to be 10 in September.
Uh-huh.
And when he goes outside, I can't find him, you know.
Right.
And I've been catching him in the next yard doing his business, and that you're not supposed to be there.
Right.
And then in April, I have to go in the hospital this time. I figured it out. I'm going in the hospital, let them do the prep for the colonoscopy in the hospital, and then do the, you know, the colonoscopy the next day.
Okay.
The hospital and everyone and the doctors all agreed to that, so I'm very happy.
All right.
But what to do with Bear, you know, and while I'm gone, you know.
Yeah.
And I was gone for over 8 hours today to go to both doctors.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. So I'm just saying, if something happens to the doctor, I mean to Mr. Chubbs, that Bear is available, because I don't know what else to do with him.
Aren't you kind?
I don't, you know.
Well, hopefully Mr. Chubbs will be here for a long time, and hopefully you and Bear will as well, but it's a wonderful offer.
Right, and like I said, I don't know what to do with him as things progress.
I understand. And it's really tough. You betcha.
And I thank you and your listeners, and I hope all of you have a wonderful evening.
And you too. Thanks for calling, Jim. I appreciate the update.
Okay, thank you.
All
bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593. Brian is in Seneca. Brian, welcome to WGN Radio.
Welcome, and a little bit of good news to counteract poor Mr. Chubbs and his illness.
Yeah.
As of the third of the month, Chick-fil-A has finally decided to quit peeing on their waffle fries.
Really?
Yes, the pea protein is gone. In the roughly year and a half, 2 years they've been doing it, they've received nothing but complaints.
Good.
Due to the off flavor.
Right.
So they have gone back to their original formula.
Aha. All right. Now, how about that? Yeah, pea starch. Said it was drier, less flavorful, and they thought they were going to be increasing the crispness. And, so back to the original recipe.
Well, croutons are crisp, but you wouldn't try to palm them off as French fries.
You're right. Okay, so we'll see. I just remember when they were really peanut oil before they denuded it for allergens or whatever. And so I'm not sure I'd be totally happy. I've been thrilled with the chains that have gone back to beef tallow for their fries, but I don't expect Chick-fil-A to ever do that.
Well, Chick-fil-A, if anything, they would need chicken tallow.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I know, so that ain't going to be happening. But I'm really saddened by the increase in peanut allergies, because it certainly did change the taste of the peanut oil.
But that was mostly just extra purifying it to remove any of the allergen.
Yes, of course, but they remove the taste in the same process.
Oh, definitely.
You know, that's what I'm complaining about. Yeah, precisely. I wondered about that pea stuff to begin with, because I thought to myself, crispy or huh? What, are you trying to see how long you can keep them in the heat lamp tray before you throw them out? I don't know what...
Yeah, that's exactly what they're trying to do, no matter what they say. Now, some people do like French fries that are crunchier than croutons, but most people, expect to be a little bit of the potato on the inside.
Well, I expect it not to be in one of those heat lamp trays ever. And I always ask them, I say, hey, I want to see the oil on those fries knowing they came right out of the fryer, or forget about it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. All right. Well, good deal.
And I had a couple of requests.
You do?
If I can get them in.
Oh, I don't see why not. What is it you would like to hear?
Okay, the first one is Over the Rainbow, but not Judy Garland. The version I want is
Dimensions?
The Hawaiian Israel.
Oh, yeah, okay, sure.
Hawaii.
You betcha. I'll do that.
And the other one is Wes Montgomery, 4/6.
Okay, good enough. Four on six. Okay, you betcha. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. So 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. All right, so that takes us to Isaac on the south side. So, Isaac, what is going on tonight?
Hi, Raleigh. How's it going tonight?
Can't complain. What's happening?
Good to hear. I don't know. Do you get a lot of callers from California?
Not many. Actually,
no,
not many. Quite a few who have lived there in the past, but not too many right now.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So, just being online, I learned about this character. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, and I'm going to try to pronounce. I'm probably going to butcher it. Boila Pandit.
The exotic.
Ever heard of him?
The Exotica musician.
Yes.
By the way,
he was.
They made it seem like he was so exotic, but he was from Missouri.
He was a black man,
yeah,
masquerading as a Spanish man,
yeah,
masquerading as an Indian from, yeah, Asia man.
Yes, he.
What a crazy! What did they say? Stranger than fiction. This is such an odd story, and he was pretty big in the Indian culture.
Yeah.
He had the first television show that was all music. There,
uh-huh,
was no other. He would. It took place in California. He would play the organ. He would stay. He, yep, would wear what's the headpiece? Not a dashiki. What is this thing called? A turban with the, yeah, with the diamond jewels.
Right.
And he would stare into the camera very, yeah, spookily, and then he would play the organ, and people liked it. And he went on. He more or less, you know, kind of, which is not unusual, especially during that time. If you could, you know, pass for, say, white, you know, you would give up your black family. But he was passing for Indian,
yep,
and so he had no contact with his black family. What is crazy about it to me is that everyone believed he was Indian. And when you look at him, he kind of looks like what's the guy's name that sings A Change Is Gonna Come?
Sam Cooke?
Can't think of his name.
You think
Sam Cooke?
You think he looks like Sam Cooke? I never thought that.
Yes, with the turban.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting you mention that, because the TV show you're referring to is actually his second foray into TV, because his first one was he was the accompaniment for Time for Beanie, which was a puppet show on KTLA.
Mm.
And so, and then they had the music show, but he never spoke and all that, but it was weird because he befriended everybody from Bob Hope to Paramahansa Yogananda. So
there are still people living. They have the television, you know, history where they interview all these people that were on the pioneers, yeah, of television, and they were interviewing a cameraman, and he was talking about him. He was like, yeah, and he was an Indian guy. And this was an interview that happened like not too many years ago, and they're still talking about him as if he's, and what's crazy is that his own children had no clue that they were African American. They believed that they were Indian, that their father was Indian. He died still telling, I mean, not even telling it, because everyone believed that he was what he said he was.
Yeah.
And when you listen to him talk, he doesn't speak with a, you know, he says that he was in, you know, came through England, and so he doesn't have a Indian accent. Just a crazy, crazy a story. Just funny. I thought you might have.
Oh no, I know. Yeah, his kids thought he was a New Delhi Brahmin, that he was from the upper crust of society. I don't know how Paramahansa fell for it, but he clearly was John Roland Red from. But it was a good bit, and he invented himself as the godfather of exotica.
Yeah.
So it was just great, and I would love to know, as far as that goes, how he fooled Paramahansa Yogananda, let alone Bob Hope and everybody else. But
what is this guy's name? Shiva? Is it Shiva? He played a character, Sabu, that's who it is.
Well, and Chan, he played behind Chandu the magician. I mean, it was all this, but time.
These are real Indians.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. Well, on Time for Beanie, Bob Clampett was not in India, but even so. Right. Yeah, and his bit was he'd play the Hammond and the Steinway at the same time. And so.
Yes, he played multiple. There were multiple organs sitting on the stage.
But
very
odd.
You know. There's a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio called where he plays a con man, and he goes from being a doctor to a pilot to a this is yes. This guy was actually living that life.
Yes,
you know, that's a made up story. This guy is for real.
Yes,
like, wow.
Yes,
this is amazing.
It is a great story.
That's the reason I called in to say that.
Oh, I'm so glad you called. Yes, I absolutely know about him, and I'm glad you brought it up because most people probably don't. That's classic.
And you know. In my opinion, like we talked about in the past, what sounds good to you sounds good to you. The music really, you know, is a kind of what a niche, you know, it's really
It's terrible.
You know, you wouldn't hear it on the radio.
No, it's absolutely terrible. But
Yes. All right. Have a good one, Riley.
All right. Bye. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right. Now, we're about running out of time, and I'd like to defer to first-time callers, and we have one. So, Denise in Glenview, welcome to WGN Radio. Denise, are you still there? We lost an ace. We lost a request. All right, well, we're going to give her time to call back on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Just a few minutes, and maybe next week we'll talk more about Korla Panda because there is more to this story. But I'm so glad Isaac brought it up. But Denise has called back, so let's find out who she is and what her request is. So, Denise, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you. You just brought back the most wonderful memories tonight about Eddie Howard. And I wanted to tell you that my request was to each his own.
Okay.
But I grew up next door to Eddie Howard, and as a child, I played with his kids. And he was living in Skokie next door to us because he was always singing at the Aragon Ballroom.
Yeah.
And he did die of a cerebral hemorrhage because we kept in touch with his family after they moved to California, but I know you're not a big fan of his.
Well, no, it isn't.
I got to thinking about all the great times he'd come over to our house and sing and play the piano, and I just knew your friend Bob, who called in, might enjoy, you know, some personal information
absolutely.
About Eddie Howard.
And by the way,
he had two kids.
Yeah, I'm not dissing Eddie. By the way, I'm not dissing him at all. He had a great voice. It was
It was
just the choice.
He was a really nice guy.
Yeah, it was just the choice of song. And To Each His Own was a huge hit that a lot of other people did too. And I'll be happy to play that for you.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it brings back great memories. And he was a very nice person. And like you said, he died way too young.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it was a shock. Yeah. Absolutely a shock.
But I enjoy your show, and once in a while when I have a chance to stay up this late, I love to listen and to all your callers, and thank you so much for playing my request.
Oh, absolutely.
Sometime soon.
It'll be next week, probably on Tuesday, and I'll try to get it in earlier on the show so you don't have to stay out too late. All right. Thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it
so much.
Okay. Bye.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
So yes, in no way to cast aspersions about Eddie Howard, who is tremendous. It's just obviously they don't choose their own A&R, their own songs necessarily. Other people do. And you know, and when Robert said Eddie Howard, I said, oh, that's great. And I forgot how much of a dirge My Last Goodbye was. And when I heard it, I thought, oh my God. But we played it for Robert. And yes, I know exactly how To Each His Own sounds, and we'll be happy to play that for Denise. And oh man, I've got literally 30 seconds, and those 30 seconds go to Gene and Dalton. All right, Gene, they're yours.
Oh, hello! How you doing out there?
All right.
You've been beautiful tonight, as usual. But you know what? I want to thank you for playing Meditation last night.
Oh, sure.
But you know, I am looking for something, and you're great at this. It's a song called When Day Is Done, and it's by Bing Crosby in the old days.
Okay.
But, you know, Kimberly and Elizabeth have been looking for it to buy it, and we can't find it at all. And I know the time is limited, but if I, you know, I'll call you back, and if you can look it up for me, for us, I'd certainly appreciate it.
It is absolutely available, and I will play it for you. I'll tell you more about it.
Oh, and then maybe you'll find a person or out there, you know, they both do that internet business, and they'll be able to find it because they've been searching for 2 days for me, and they can't find it.
Wow. All right. Well, good
deal.
All
I want is just to, you know, have my own.
Well, if worse comes to worse, I'll send it to you. But hopefully he'll find it. All right. I think it might be on Best of It. I'll tell you next week. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye for now.
I think it is. There was a CD thing released about 10, 12 years ago. Okay. Well, apologies to Ruth. Apologies to James and to you, too, if you've been hanging on. And, wow. Tomorrow night, I think we have a whole half hour to talk together. Oh, yeah. Who knows? Maybe we'll just talk about Bing Crosby. Why not? Until then, that's a wrap, we think. Thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. That's what makes the show a pleasure to do. Talk to you tomorrow night, late on WGN Radio.
Homeland Security Blanket, plus Pay Lady Pay and Heater Hysteria. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. Bed Wrath and Beyond, the DHS secretary wants her blankie. Breach blanket jingo following somebody screwing up when Christy Gnome had to switch government planes and left her favorite blankie behind, reports say. Talk about the Ryle High Club. Prig in a blankets pilot said to be shown the door for the cover flub, as cold as ice, but captain had to be called back when no other pilot was around. Scrappiness is a storm done. At least this time no dog was shot and killed for being untrainable. Grouse of the Rising Sun. Solidarity for Flesher, the rallying cry at a brothel west of Vegas, where the blue-holler skank and file are fighting to become the first unionized twerking girls in the nation. The main sticking point, Boxcar Bertha's bosses claiming the right to plaster the sex workers' faces anywhere without their permission. Mulan Scrooge says sign the deal or beat it, according to the independent contractors, who say the ranch rakes in half their take. Boogie Plights have filed under the name United Brothers Workers. Radiator Rampage. On New York's Upper East Side, steam-spewing savagery stunned a social media starlet when a rabid radiator roared, rattled, and ripped loose, blasting boiling water bedlam across a bedroom. The terrified tenant filmed the ferocious fixture as scalding spray swallowed the space, sparking a frantic firefighter response. Flames didn't follow, but viral visibility did, as millions witnessed the heat horror highlight. Officials silenced the sizzling system, but proved one painful point. When heat turns hostile, comfort turns catastrophic. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.